Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and I am a registered Lilydale medium. And this is Wednesdays with Willa, my special show where I have different guests come on the show. We have discussions of various topics relating to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, and more. And it's a wonderful opportunity for you to tune in and learn and take part in our conversation. And I'm thrilled to say that my guest today is Gretchen Clark. Thank you for being on the show today, Gretchen.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm always delighted to join you on these programs.
Oh, wonderful. And for those of you who don't know who Gretchen Clark is, she has been a registered medium for over 40 years, correct?
Correct.
So a wealth of experience to be shared today. And our topic today is, what happens when you die? It is a common question. Many, many people ask us that in our readings and in our everyday life, just interacting with people once they find out what we do. And it's something that spiritualism really does have an answer to, I feel.
I do also.
And so we're going to be exploring those with you today. Keep in mind that this is a short program, so we're just going to be scratching the surface, folks, because it's a topic that can go on and on and on and take us down many different spaces when it comes to spiritual energy. So I wanted to give people a little more background with you, Gretchen.
Okay.
You've been a spiritualist all your life because it's a multi-generational spiritualist family. And you're, is it fifth?
I'm a fifth generation, yes.
Fifth generation spiritualist. So she's got that background with her. And then just to kind of clarify for everybody else, this is my 17th year being a registered medium. And I was doing, public message work for over 20 years. And so it's that space that we're coming from personally and professionally when we talk today about this very important topic. So when it relates to my radio show, I call it radio show because we're on Blog Talk Radio through Lilydale Radio, and you can tune in. That's an audio-only version. If you go to blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio. But most of you are probably tuning in on my Facebook page, which is Willa White Medium. And I encourage you to like and share the videos and shows that we do. You can also like the page so that you can be notified as to what events I'm doing and what shows I'm going to be offering. Because I try to let you know in advance what the topics and guests will be for the show. So you can get excited and make sure you can tune in on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. So as it relates to our topic, what happens when we die? Let's talk about that.
Yes, Les. And I have to say it's been my experience, and with all the people I've spoken to, those in spirit and those alive, that it depends very much. It's an individual thing. Excuse me. A lot of it has to do with what you expect. The Native Americans used to go to the happy hunting grounds. The Vikings went to Valhalla. And talking to those in spirit, I've discovered that where they end up depends on where they expect to be. Mm-hmm. One quick, what I think is a humorous story. Many years ago, I was doing a reading for a woman, and her aunt came through identifying herself by name, when she died, etc., or how she died. And she told me she'd been gone 6 months. And the gal said, oh, no, that can't be my aunt. I'll call her Ida. That can't be Aunt Ida because she died over 20 years ago. And I said, well, she says she's your Aunt Ida. And then the woman started to giggle. And she said her aunt had been, I don't know if it's Christian Scientist or Seventh-day Adventist or what, who believe that when you die, you go, you lay in your grave until Gabriel comes and blows his horn, and then you rise up out of it. And that's the religion that this woman belonged to. And the gal said, she was laughing, and she said, about 6 months ago, they put in a new road at the cemetery, and I think it was the trucks backing up that made her think it was Gabriel's horn.
Oh, that's funny.
So she is no longer in that piece of ground. She's roaming around freely in the spirit world.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, as far as spiritualism is concerned, we believe in an afterlife. And many would say that we know, that it moves out of just a I believe, it is a I know, because of our personal experiences that we've had with spirit. And as such, we are souls and we have a physical body. And during so-called death, we release from the physical body. We stay attached by what is commonly referred to as the silver cord until actual passing. And then we're gone.
And then we're gone.
And then we're gone out of that body. And it's something that is very, as Gretchen said, very much a personal individual experience. And sometimes the way of passing does have an effect on the person. How they live certainly has an effect on the person as it relates to their passing. And those that have been present at your loved one's passings or others, you've perhaps had a sense of what it was like for a person when they're passing and been able to watch the soul ascend out of the body in that way. And it can be a very beautiful experience.
It can be. And one thing I've found over the years is that no one ever dies alone. It
Correct.
Doesn't matter if you're on the top of Mount Everest or in the middle of Antarctica or whatever. Your people in spirit are there with you.
Yes.
And they're there waiting to take you by the hand, help you acclimate to being without a body, and so on.
Yes.
So, oh, but he was all alone when he died. No, he wasn't.
No,
there may not have been a body there, a physical person, but those in spirit were definitely there.
Yes.
And what I found that, maybe not true for you, I don't know, that it generally takes about a year or sometimes two or three for someone to be able to communicate once they pass.
It depends. I have had people communicate the very next day. I've had people, personal people to me, communicate that very day.
Oh, yes.
But I'm talking about in terms of clients. Sometimes they'll have a reading scheduled for months. They'll come and it has been the day after and that person does come through. But I do recommend that people wait at least 6 months before scheduling, typically, mainly because they need to have time to process their own grief. It's more to do with the client than the spirit, although there are spirits and they progress at different rates. Whatever state of consciousness we have when we're here on the earth plane, we do take that with us and we learn and grow, and life has a way of moving along at our own individual pace. And spiritual progression is eternal and infinite, so there's always something more to learn and grow and be. But that life review that we go through, we have an opportunity to look at the good, the bad, the otherwise,
sure, but that
what
comes
we did,
later.
How we affected other people, things like that, because that's really important for an individual soul process, for the learning of things. And that's certainly an aspect of what happens when we die and where we go and how things are progressing with us. But it is very much, you cannot guarantee that you're going to be able to connect with a particular person in spirit. In fact,
it's like when you make a phone call. I can call you, and maybe you'll answer, and maybe you won't.
Yes.
And you can ask spirit to show up, and maybe they'll be there, and maybe they won't. They won't. It's up to them.
It's up to them. They
and
have
what
that
they're
choice.
Doing, because when someone dies, I think it matters on how you died and how old you were. If you're a young person and it's an accident, it takes you longer to accept the fact that that physical body is gone.
Sometimes.
Well, in general. When you're older, if you're ill, if you're expecting to go, then you can get through much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
That's been my experience.
I am also,
but again, it's individual.
It very much is individual. I've had people who have been sick a long time, and after they have crossed, they're convinced of their physicality of being sick,
yes,
or being unhealthy, and it takes them some recuperation time on the other side to be able to process that, to take on a new reality, a new,
yeah,
space of enlightenment. And so it's a tough, you can't generalize per se. There are some
it's individual,
yeah,
always. Every case is different. And that's one thing that the people that help us make the transition, that they do, is help us acclimate, help us learn to get around and how to operate without a physical body.
Yes.
And because that is a learning process. And then when you get to a certain point and start doing a life review, you realize that you have to make atonements to everyone that you've harmed.
Yeah.
And it depends on, it's a lot easier if you do that, folks, when you still have a physical body.
It
because
sure is.
So many people ignore those in spirit, don't know they're around. And it's hard to get through to that person, for the one in spirit to get through and say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, etc.
Exactly.
So make sure you make peace with everyone before you leave the body.
It'll
speed
it's
things
best
up a lot
to do
for
that.
You.
Absolutely. Highly recommended. Because you really just want to be in a bliss state. And peace is also a relative term, I must say.
Oh, yeah.
Because my peace would not necessarily be someone else's peace. Some people really get a charge out of some chaos. So, you know, it's something that they have to come to terms with, absolutely. Have you ever seen the movie What Dreams May Come? And it has Robin Williams in it.
Oh, yes.
And Cuba Gooding.
A while ago, yes.
And to date, I would say it's the only kind of movie that kind of got it right, as far as the sense that when the Robin Williams character passed, he had to acclimate,
mm-hmm,
himself. And he, because of the vibrational frequency difference, he wasn't able to perceive
yes,
Cuba Gooding Jr. in like you and,
mm-hmm,
I can see each other. It was has had more of a vagueness to it. And
yes,
then he had gained an understanding and enlightenment. He was able to see his guide on the other side,
right,
a bit better, and then also see beyond the physical guise of someone and to truly get a stronger sense of what their soul is. And I thought it was really interesting how they explored the afterlife. Robin Williams, how his daughter,
yes,
what her version of heaven was, and
right,
what Robin, mm-hmm, Williams's character, what his version of heaven. It was an oil painting by his wife.
And what was, there's several movies. One was The Sixth Sense.
Sixth Sense I disagreed with because,
well, I disagreed with a lot of it, but
always cold, and that's for movie effect.
Hollywood
version.
Effect. And what about the ghost?
Spirit could get hot.
What about the ghost?
Yes.
With Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
That was a wonderful movie.
It was hilarious.
And it is like that.
In some ways.
Yes.
In some ways. But I think they make efforts and they want to sell tickets.
Well, sure, so they don't actually. Well, look at some of the things that have been filmed here in Lilydale. They've been done for the viewing audience, not really to depict what Lilydale is and what happens here.
Sometimes that is the case. And so there's a difference of realities that happen in this human dimensional difference. But then as it relates to the afterlife dimensional difference, I mean, there are different planes of existence.
Exactly.
That we move through. And we, as spiritual beings, are attuned through the energy centers,
mm-hmm,
that most people call chakras,
yeah,
and then the layers of the aura that help us to attune to the different planes of existence, and that we do have a relationship with them, whether we realize it consciously or not.
Absolutely.
And what fascinates me as it relates to afterlife is also the concept of gestation. When a woman is pregnant with a baby,
mm-hmm,
the spirit essences are merging with the flesh with every month of gestation.
Exactly.
I felt it very personally with my pregnancies of my children. And so I know that is how it layers in. And then also is that way when people pass, they need to sometimes have more of a gentle, slow release in order to,
yes,
let go. And some people do try to toe dip. Yeah. I mean, they're not quite ready to pass, so they're like toe dipping on the other side and like, okay, I'll maybe I'll put my ankle in now.
Yeah.
Like, they're slow because they're nervous. Sometimes they have come from a religion or a fear standpoint that makes them afraid to pass, and it can make the passing take longer.
Exactly.
It could also be that they are don't want to leave their people here on the earth plane. They're like, what if I can't talk with them again?
Right.
They get nervous about those things.
Right. Years ago, my mother, we got a call from the hospital that she was very, very ill and was not going to make it for 24 hours. So all of us, there were five of us children, we all got together and got to the hospital, right? And we took turns because it was over a week that she was in there. So we would take turns going in and sitting with her and stuff. And finally, I said to her mom, she could talk a little, not much. She had pneumonia, and she had had scleroderma external, and it went internally and started to calcify the organs. So that's what was going on with her. Anyway, I said, Mom, what, Daddy's there, right? I can see him, and I can see Grandpa and Grandma and everything. And she said, yes, I know, but I'm afraid to go. What if they're not there when I make the transition? And I told her, well, look, listen to me while I talk to your people and my people, and told them to let her know that they were there, each of them holding a piece of the blanket ready to catch her.
Yes.
And she said, oh, I guess I can do that, maybe tonight. And she died at 2 o'clock that morning.
Yeah. And sometimes
she just let go.
Yeah.
She needed permission.
Sometimes they do.
Yes, and we said, all of us know that you want to stay here with us, and we want you here, but we want you whole.
Yeah. If you're not going to have quality of life, it's best to go ahead and release. Well, I like to say if the vehicle's dead on the side of the road, get out of the car.
Good point, yes. And two, my mother, she was a beautiful woman, and she had never remarried after Daddy died. I was 10 when he died. And she always said, well, if I could find somebody like Johnny Carson, maybe I would. But she said, so far, there's nobody that can measure up to your dad. And she really missed him, and she was lonely. So she was glad to go be with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes they have to be reminded about those things.
Yeah, it's okay. And your people are all there. And she knew it.
Yeah.
Mom didn't work as a medium, but she was. And that's why when I started seeing spirit when I was so little, she would just say, oh, Mom, there's somebody here. Oh, who is it?
Yeah.
Is it a man? Is it a woman? What's their name? What do they want? What are they wearing?
It was normal.
Yes. Totally
because it
normal.
Is normal.
It is.
So to be able to communicate with them. But, you know, Gretchen makes a wonderful point that sometimes people, when they are crossing, they do need permission. They need coaxing. They need coaching. Sometimes they can be scared like little children having separation anxiety.
Yeah, exactly.
About
That's
their experience. And so it's something that sometimes you have to say, I'm going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see you when I see you.
Right.
And it helps a lot, enormously. When I was a hospice volunteer, usually we only were assigned one person.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point, I had three people.
Oh, boy.
And I was going on vacation for upstate for 1 week. And so I told each of the three people, I said, if you pass while I am gone, it's fine. Please go. In fact, it's better if you go ahead and go while I'm gone, because I felt like my energy had been sustaining them.
That's very possible.
And so I said, I will absolutely talk with you again, and I will see you again. Because I form attachments with people. I can't help it.
Yep.
I love them. And so two of them passed while I was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And within less than 24 hours of each other, starting a day after I left. I think that it helps them, and that it helps us here on the earth plane if we can go ahead and let them go with grace in that way.
Exactly. And I think you're telling them that you are leaving as well.
Yeah.
Made it okay for them to leave.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that time and time again in that volunteer work, but then also with clients, you know, the way they tell me about things and the way those in spirit explain their passings to me as well, that sometimes that's been really crucial. Perhaps we should mention, sometimes people do pass when others are not around.
Yes, they wait. If people are there in the hospital room with you or wherever, they wait until all those people are gone.
They don't want an audience.
No, I think, well, yes, but because they know that there's a complete lack of muscular control, et cetera, and they want to spare their people that, and they don't want the indignity that is going to occur with them to be something that is a last memory for their loved ones.
That
so they're very, very often, well, we just went down for coffee. We just stepped out of the room for a cigarette or whatever. Well, yeah, that's, well, finally, I've got a chance to go.
Yes, nobody's watching.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I think that it's something we have to go ahead and forgive our loved ones if we had such an idea that, oh, I really wanted to be present and I wasn't, that it's okay. It's not about who's there when we pass. If the way I explain it, it's not about who's there when we pass, because if it was, no one would ever leave the house. We would never go and do anything because,
right.
You can't live your life from that kind of fear standpoint. Life and death is natural, and it's something that is very, that we have to allow be natural.
That's why we say, and a number of people have said over the years, that we are spirit. We are, the body is just a vehicle.
Yes.
But that the body isn't us. And when we leave it, we're still the same person we were.
We help propel our body.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it's ours, like our house, our car, or whatever.
Yes.
But it isn't us.
Yes, it's not meant to carry onward. I will tell you, I think that the opportunity to incarnate on a physical earth plane is a wonderful thing. I love it here.
Well, that's why so many babies decide to take a body.
Yes.
And just to quickly run back to what you said about your children, I was very aware of my children and when I was carrying them.
Yes.
And my daughter, it's funny, somebody said, why did you name her Shelley Lynn? I said, because when I was about 6 months pregnant, she told me that was her name.
And Gretchen is a very clear audience medium, so she hears names and things like that.
Often,
very
regularly. But not always.
Frequently.
It depends on the ability of the person in spirit.
True.
Not the ability of the medium, but how clearly the person in spirit can communicate.
Because they need to work on their communication.
Sure, they have to learn.
Some people are better at learning the ropes than others.
And quicker.
I have noticed that mediums that pass are really cool communicators.
Absolutely.
This is really cooking. They know how to do it. And so I think it's good if you can have that basis of understanding before you pass. I think it's a preferred method because then it's easier.
It's easier, but obviously people in spirit manage to get through and they manage to communicate with us. And that's wonderful because it is a blessing to hear your loved ones in spirit,
it is
to know
a true
they're around.
Blessing. Absolutely. And it's part of it's sacred and it's fun what we do too.
I enjoy it.
Yes.
And it can be healing. Years ago, I was in a bad accident with my husband. My husband was killed. I was in the hospital and I was thinking, geez, David hasn't been around. I wonder why he hasn't come to see me. And that night he showed up. And he said, well, I'm sorry, sis, I didn't make it. The body died.
Yeah.
I was in the hospital. I said, okay. And I said something to one of the nurses one day. I said, I know why my husband hasn't been here, because I've been asking him.
Right.
I said, because he came to visit me last night, and I know he's dead. And she said, oh, well, let me go get the doctor. And the doctor came in to tell me, we're sorry, but your husband is in spirit. I said, I know. I talked to him last night.
They're not used to that.
I think they thought I was delusional or something.
Because they're just not.
They're not on that wavelength.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you that the reconstructive surgeons, they both came to Lilydale after I'd been back for healing. And, you know, they wanted, nobody heals like I heal, they said. I said, Hannah and Clyde Yoder came over every day to do healings for me. They were healers here in Lilydale. They ran the healing temple.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to check it out, so they came over to see.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
And it's through our interactions with other people that they start to understand more about the spirit world.
Yes.
And the afterlife, and to not be afraid when it comes to those things. And
yes,
I think it's wonderful.
We do a good service for people, but
yeah.
I think it's as healing for those in spirit as it is for the ones that are here for the reading.
Excellent point.
I always say I work for spirit, and I expect that spirit is the one that got the people to me
mm-hmm.
that they
mm-hmm.
needed to communicate with.
Absolutely. And you can, when you make an appointment, I sometimes suggest to folks, tell your people in spirit, hey, you guys, I've got an appointment, show up. And that seems to work really well. If you notify them in advance, that's a kind thing
it's
to
a kindness.
Do.
Not necessary, though. I always, when I explain how I work, and I always say, do you have any other questions? Okay, and then I say, well, I have a couple for you. First question, do you have people in spirit you wish to communicate with, yes or no? And if so, did you invite them? And if not, while I say a silent prayer, why don't you send out a thought to ask them to show up?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that certainly helps.
That doesn't mean they will.
Right.
But
the thing to keep in mind is that readings with mediums are basically experimental sittings. You do not know what's going to happen.
Right.
We cannot, as mediums, guarantee we're going to be able to connect with a certain spirit or information
mm-hmm.
about them. It just doesn't work that way. But, you know, consistently, Gretchen and I are both consistent mediums.
Mm-hmm.
We consistently connected with loved ones that have passed over. And that's by and large, not a problem to connect with people.
Exactly.
In the past. But just keep that in mind, that it's an experimental session, and you cannot guarantee.
Well, we can guarantee what we're going to do,
right.
But we can't guarantee at all what those in spirit choose to do.
Exactly.
And
it's their prerogative. And they may not answer certain questions you have because we all have that prerogative.
Right. And they can tell us, they can look in the future, and spirit can, and they can tell us probabilities and possibilities, but they never say this is going to happen at this
right.
time on this date, because we all have choices. And
yeah.
the more people involved, the more the final outcome is apt to change.
Because we have free will. That's
yes.
part of spiritual natural law. And so while there are higher probabilities of outcome, as Gretchen said, it's something that until you're in the moment, what decision will you really make?
Right.
Yeah. So all they can indicate are tendencies. And as mediums, we don't focus on fortune telling.
No, we're not fortune tellers.
And that's not what we do. So keep that in mind, that when you want to connect with your loved ones in spirit, they are not omniscient beings.
they can tell us possibilities and probabilities,
yes.
but they're the ones that are telling us. That isn't a gift I have. I can't see into the future.
And the other thing to keep in mind is usually whatever they were good at when they were here on the earth plane, that usually carries on,
yes.
because they still want to be involved. So if they're a scientist, they really are very interested in science advancements,
right.
and they could be mentoring people in that way. Or if they're really excited about vehicles, then
yes.
that's their world.
Oh, yes. And they're the ones that come back and say, you know, you really ought to have that back tire checked.
Yeah, if they were good at that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that was their area of expertise.
And so you have to, you know, think in terms of how they would relate to you based on their own personalities, because the personality does continue after so-called.
Yes, and it changes, because probably the first couple, 3 years after someone passes, they're more like they were when they were here on the earth plane. But if they've been gone 50 years, then it's a whole different ball of wax.
Yes. And, yeah, that's a good point, because everybody progresses at different rates. I mean, you can see that here on the earth plane, different spiritual understandings that people have.
Yes.
And it's not a judgment, it's an observation, right? We're
yes.
all at different understandings about these things.
About everything.
And some people mm-hmm. learn faster than others.
Yeah.
Right,
and some people do more research than
and
others.
And so for them, life review is easy peasy, and for other people, it's slogging through mud.
Yep. Couldn't say it better myself. Yes.
So, you know, and sometimes it's almost painful to watch somebody progress, because you want them to go faster, get with it, and all you could do is send prayers, just like here on the earth plane when you pray for people. Let it be faith prayer, and sometimes you can see it stacking up in someone in their aura.
Yes,
like
exactly.
Beautifully wrapped presents, and you're like, aren't you going to open your present? And they're like, yeah, maybe later.
Exactly.
And you're like, please open your present, please.
If you want to do something for your person in spirit, for the people that you love and miss,
yeah,
send a prayer.
Send a prayer.
Pray for them.
And know that they're ultimately okay. You need to trust in their journey.
Exactly.
And that they are very guided and very loved, as all are we all. And the divine is always supporting us in love and healing and light.
Right. Whether we know it and accept it or not.
That's right. It's
available. They work there.
That's right.
They're working for us helping.
I do feel the angels work best if you go ahead and ask.
Well,
I do feel that.
My grandfather,
works really well.
Great-grandfather, I never met him. He died before I was born, but he shows up a lot to help me.
Nice.
Robert Clark, he was. Good friend of Billy Hammond.
Okay.
So Billy told me. Anyway,
Yes.
I asked him one time why he comes all the time and my grandmother doesn't. I've never met her. She's never showed up.
Mm-hmm. This is a good point here.
And, well, what he said is she decided to pick up another body. Now, I'm sitting there thinking, reincarnation is not something I ever really... okay, but if... if that's what my grandfather told me, great-granddad, I have to believe that that's what he believed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that opened a whole other
world
line of
you.
Communication for me. Right?
Yes.
And so you can't communicate with the people that you loved when you no longer have the identity that recognized them.
That can be.
Right. I mean, you never know.
Right.
There are no hard and fast rules. Not here on the earth plane and not there in spirit either.
The only thing that we do know is spiritual natural law is in effect in everyone's life, here and in the hereafter.
Exactly.
And then that's important, whether you know what those spiritual natural laws are or not. Ignorance is not an excuse because they're still in effect.
They are.
Most definitely.
Like the law of gravity. People say, oh, I don't believe in natural law. Okay, go step off a building. Gravity will kick in, yes.
And let's see. My dad passed suddenly 39 years ago, and I feel that I still haven't had a specific sign directed to me. Is there something specific to look for? And so when it comes to those things, sometimes people, when they're looking for a sign, sometimes they're looking for their burning bush, right?
Right.
Like in the Bible or something.
Right. Remember that song from Sesame Street?
Which one?
Looking down at a crack in the sidewalk, old tin can by the side of the road. Nearly missed a rainbow. Nearly missed a shooting star going by. So if you're so focused on one thing, you may totally miss something else.
This is true because, you know, we tend to get very focused, almost like a tunnel vision. And when it comes to spirit contact, so much happens in that peripheral.
Exactly.
And that's the place of that right brain and the intuitive mind, not the analytical mind. So sometimes things can be right there in front of us and we miss it. I mean, how often do you hear the stories of people who lived in the same town and they met years later and they had all these possible meeting opportunities?
And it never happened.
And it never happened, but or they never recognized each other
exactly.
In those moments. But then they finally do. And it's like, how could we have missed each other? We were even in the same mess and this.
Right.
And so sometimes things are right in front of us. So I do feel it's important to keep an open mind
mm-hmm.
and to not necessarily direct spirit.
About, good luck.
You know,
trying to, yeah.
Because the idea of demanding anything from spirit doesn't work well. It is you can make a gentle request. Please show me in some way that you are around me, and it might be a touch, and it might be something you hear or something you see. Or,
exactly.
You know, there are all kinds of ways that they can communicate with us. And you just never know what that person's going to choose to do.
Exactly. And one thing that people need to remember is that you have to ask spirit.
Ask.
Don't tell them. Don't demand. Ask.
It's a request.
And, you know, knock and the door shall be opened.
Yes.
Ask and you shall receive. But if you don't ask, probably you're not going to receive.
Yes. And usually when people are wanting to have foster spirit communication, it's good if they can raise the vibration into a space of joy and centered
mm-hmm.
energy.
Laughter,
so that they can receive.
Listen to good music.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Laughter of a child.
It's easier for spirit to get through that than when somebody's upset.
Well, they have to match frequencies with us.
Yeah.
Spirit operates at a very, very high frequency.
Yes.
And like they're at FM 200, and we in a physical body are on AM 94. You know, they have to come all the way down to our level for us to for them to communicate with us.
Yes, it does take that finding the right radio station is what I call it.
Finding the radio station
for that to have an effect on us
mm-hmm.
and for us to be paying attention. And I will say this though, sometimes what they will do is you'll be busy doing some activity. And all of a sudden, you'll just feel like they're with you or you heard your name or
mm-hmm.
something like that. And I think that sometimes when your left brain is being babysat, then all of a sudden they can come in. And it's like they interrupt your thought train.
Mm-hmm.
Just as if people here on the earth plane enter the room and strike up a conversation with you and derail your thought train, so it is with spirit.
Exactly.
But they
good
can
point.
Come in that way, too.
Good
so
point.
You just kind of allow for it and see how it unfolds, and it really has to be something you're patient with.
You have to be patient with it. And I've discovered for myself that meditation works in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Making bread, kneading it, is the best meditation for me, because when I'm focused on that, that's when I hear personally from my people in spirit.
And getting a little zen phase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that
that's
works
great.
For me. Oops, excuse me.
And so then it's almost like that yeasty smell will set it off. The bread and the manual.
Yeah.
The manual, you know, kind of like when cats come up and they'll do that. They'll
yes.
start, get into your little alpha mode.
I like that, yes.
So, you know, definitely has been that. Let's see, my hubby, walking in the woods. Oh, this lady says that she asked her husband in spirit to let me see him walking through the woods and tell him I won't tell anyone because they'd think I was nuts. He gives me signs all the time, but I want to see him. Now, the thing to keep in mind is, as Gretchen and I were talking about earlier, spirit communication is dependent on a few things. What the spirit communicator is good at doing as far as their level of communication
right.
and then their method, and then you... as an individual, how you perceive and receive
right.
information.
You've got to be tuned into the right station.
Yeah. And so those are two main factors when it comes to spirit communication.
Exactly.
It's a two-way street that comes into play here.
Mm-hmm.
So you may not be clairvoyant per se, and so you wouldn't necessarily see spirit. I think people have these expectations that they will see spirit. But not everyone is clairvoyant. Some people are feelers, so you're more likely to feel
right.
spirit or to hear clairaudiently spirit. So you have to go with what your particular strengths are.
Spirit often will come in while you're sleeping, and they
yes.
can slide into a dream,
mm-hmm.
and then you can see them because then you have more perception
yes.
available. But, you know, just because you don't see him when you ask him to show up doesn't mean he doesn't.
Right.
So ask him to show up while you're sleeping.
Now, I want to point out that spirit is not hanging around you 24/7. You know, it's one of the reasons they edit reality TV shows, because nobody's that interesting. And and they're not trying to invade our privacy or private moments per se. And so it's something to keep in mind that and they have lives too, and,
yes.
and while they do love you and they will visit you, I think it's really interesting. Sometimes if you rarely had contact with a person, even if they were your own child, then you think, oh, well, when they pass the spirit, maybe I'll see them more. Not necessarily.
No. Maybe,
but
not necessarily.
But not
yeah.
necessarily. You know, if they're that kind of zip zoom, I'm gone kind of person, then it may be very infrequent that you hear from them, and because they're off doing their thing. And you ultimately need to be living your own life. Having spirit contact 24/7 would be an unhealthy thing, because you wouldn't be focusing on the here and the now and the joys of this particular.
Which is why all
life.
Of us as mediums have on-off switches.
Oh, yeah.
So we can live our lives, and then when we do a reading, then we flip the switch.
Yeah, and then
yeah.
It's power on. You want to be at 100% when you're doing readings as a medium as much as possible. And if you're a leaky faucet, you know, that's an unhealthy thing to be.
Yes.
So it's something to my husband receives names that flash in his head while he is sleeping. Yep. that's one of the ways.
Say hello to those people.
Yeah, say hello to them. And sometimes we do have those inspirations when we're just in that kind of haze
yes.
phase. We're a little bit more accessible during that time. And so we do have that as well. So we've talked about the actual release of people.
Mm-hmm.
So if people have sudden passings, I do not adhere to the belief that if they have a sudden passing, they don't know where they are, or that they are going to haunt people more likely, or anything like that. I don't hold to that. I don't feel that speed necessarily has much to do with it. It's the individual that's important.
Exactly.
And their expression of it. So,
and if they pass suddenly, their loved ones are there.
Right.
They say a thought goes around the world 3 times in a second. Don't know how they measured it.
Mm.
But spirit moves quicker than that.
Oh, yeah.
So they can be on Mount Everest or Kilimanjaro or back in Paris. But if you need them, they're right there.
Yeah, speed of love is faster than the speed of light. So, you know, we are vibrationally linked in
yes.
that way. And so you don't need to worry about a person that has passed quickly, that they're going to be confused or anything like that. It's
all their
something.
People are there helping them acclimate.
Yeah, they've
instantly.
Got plenty of help.
Yes.
And on the scene, as it were.
Yeah.
And so you need to know that is the case for people. And we don't need to have fear. The more we have fear about someone, the more that kind of accumulates around a person that we love, and we don't want to do that to them. You know, we want to trust in their journey and really support them with all of that. And so it's really important that we don't have fear about a person's passing.
Exactly.
And of fear about what's going to happen. We have to let that go and to surrender to whatever is going to be.
You can miss someone.
Yeah.
But that
they like
mean,
being missed.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
They do. It's a love link.
Yes.
And that helps them. That's a positive energy that recharges their batteries.
Absolutely. Yes, it's a good way to put it. And so this is a symbiotic relationship that you have with them that can continue. And what I found really interesting, especially in my hospice work and then with some family members, is that if they had Alzheimer's or dementia or anything like that, it's really a tricky time for people, that I actually was able to start talking to their soul. And so I'd get in the habit of talking to their soul instead of their conscious self. And so that when they passed, I was so used to talking to their soul that was easier as far as spirit communication.
And it made it easier for them. Yeah,
easier for them
good.
As well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're giving you a lot of tips today, folks. I hope that you're enjoying that. Is astral travel real? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Astral projection. Yeah, some people call it astral projection, out-of-body experience.
And that's where the silver cord comes in.
And
you're,
that's where
you're linked to the physical body.
Through that silver cord.
Through that cord. Whether it's not a physical thing, it's just...
Etherically. It's etherically there. It's kind of
part
like,
of the etheric body.
Like the umbilical cord, I guess you could
kind
say.
Kind of, sort of.
Kind of keeps us linked until it's time to pass, and that we are very protected in those moments.
Yes, we are.
As much as we possibly can. But when people are in trance, or if they are in meditation, it's a good idea not to touch them physically, because they can wham right back down in their body, and it hurts.
Do you ever get slammed back into your body?
I've had that happen. If I've been meditating, or if I'm doing messages or reading.
Or if you're sleeping.
And sleeping and somebody touches me, it's not so good.
Well, too.
It's very jarring because you need to give a person space. And if you have been sleeping, it's a very good idea to kind of get the lay of the land while you're still laying in bed before you get up and out of your bed.
Oh, yes.
Because you want to make sure you're all in, tuck in. All arms and legs in the vehicle. Folks.
And a sudden noise, anything when the fire siren goes off, you get slammed back into your body. So if you wake up with a jerk, chances are you were out of your body for a while.
You're kind of
and
hovering.
And that brought you back into it.
Yes. And so it's something that it's important that you recognize those moments, too. You haven't passed. Although, this brings up another thing. Sometimes I'll be connecting with a person in spirit, and they will notify me that they had a near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll notify me this client did or something. And there's a certain symbol they use with it. But it's because they've toe-dipped on the other side, so there is record of them more than once having passed in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes.
It's really cool and verifiable. And so people can kind of get to that edge and come on back. And
yes,
I think you had one at one point,
when,
right?
When the accident occurred, when my husband was killed, I remember seeing my mother and father and some other beings.
Yes.
And they told me I had a choice. I could stay there with them, or I could go back to my body, and that I would be healed, and that I could be with my children. And I had two young children at the time.
Yeah.
So the choice was a no-brainer
to
me.
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Came back very quickly. But, yes, I was definitely on the other side. I mean, that was my near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a choice. I think a lot of us do, if it ever gets to that point.
Typically, death is between the individual soul and God. And there is a lot of thought in it. And if the body is too far gone, usually they're trying to let go, be done. It's not going to be quality of life for you. And for sometimes it's about another person's journey why a person comes back. So, it's just fascinating.
Individual reasons for every single person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I hope it's exciting to all of you to think in terms of what happens when you die and where we go from here. And the journey continues very much. Have you ever read Jonathan Livingston Seagull?
Of course.
I think that's a really interesting book.
It's a great book. It's a very spiritualist book.
Very spiritualist book. I'm glad you recognize it, too. So rather than reading Leadbeater and Alice Bailey, which could be really dry, esoteric texts to read.
Sorry, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Or
by Richard Bach.
My other favorite book that he's written, Illusions.
Illusions is an excellent one
There's
as well.
There's some wonderful quotes in there.
Yeah, I agree. And it's kind of an old book. There was a movie done of Jonathan Livingston Seagull with Neil Diamond music.
Oh.
I actually like Neil Diamond. I don't have a problem.
I do too.
But
yeah.
So I'm not suggesting the movie per se. But the book does a good job of talking about what it's like when other people are not in that spiritual mode.
Mm-hmm.
And you really want to let your soul fly and experience and be in a spiritual unfoldment, spiritual exploration, and what happens on different planes of existence. So it's a recommend. It's an older book. I think it's, from the 70s?
Probably.
Say?
And
60s,
another
70s?
Another movie, by the way, that is a wonderful movie, is Dragonfly with Kevin Costner. Did you see that?
It's been a while since it's an old movie, but
I'm sure it'll be available for people. Yeah.
You know, that dragonfly being a wonderful symbol of metamorphosis and change. And some people, that has been a symbol for them, for their loved ones, as far as spirit communication. Sometimes they will use birds as spirit messengers, all kinds of things.
Everything.
It's
my
really
favorite
crazy.
Is the butterfly.
Yes, the butterfly.
Years ago when I was teaching Lyceum, which is a Bible school for children, I had a poster on the wall that I loved. And it showed two caterpillars crawling along and some butterflies flying overhead. And one caterpillar said to the other, "You'll never get me up in one of those things."
So it's like, it's
going to
happen.
Little do you know,
it's
going to happen sooner or later to all of us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so it's something that to not be in a hurry about as far as death, because there's plenty to do and see here.
Oh,
but, not to be nervous about passing. Either, and that even though we are in distinctly different dimensions, different planes of existence, we can communicate, and that we can foster that communication. Absolutely.
Absolutely we can.
And there are other great spiritualist books. I wanted to, let me get over here for a second. I put them off to the side a little too much here. So forgive me, I'm getting into here. But Becoming a Spiritualist by H. Gordon Burroughs is a wonderful book.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody wants some more information about what we've been talking about today and also spiritualism, it's something that if you really want to investigate about, I think I highly recommend. You can see when I have a book, I start tabbing it all over the place.
I've got a copy. It's a different cover, but I've got one that I carry. Take with me to most of the workshops I do.
Yeah. There's the why is the spiritualism, things like that. You know, the attraction we have with spirit and how to handle this. I like what it says. What happens to a person just after death? The soul is met by directors and guides who attend to the duties of birth into this new realm of life. These duties are as varied as the needs of the soul on earth. In many instances, the soul is taken to a sanitarium and then cared for until they become accustomed to the new realm and are able to care for themselves.
Right.
So it's interesting that over the years, spiritualists have by and large agreed about those things.
But the terminology changes.
That's old language.
They don't really take them to sanitariums.
Yeah, they wouldn't. that's just a way that we handle things.
To make it something that those of us in bodies can identify with.
Right. Just like heaven and hell are linear concepts.
Yes.
And the idea of the ladder and Dante's ninth circle of hell and things like that. Those are linear concepts that we can understand here on the physical earth plane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really such as that in the next plane of existence.
And this is a little off topic, but one of the things that is always interested me is that in the Bible, hell is a hot place, which where those books were written, it got very hot in the sun.
Yes.
But in Iceland and Finland, the Vikings, hell was cold.
That's true. That's
icy cold. So it depends on what is your worst fear.
Yes.
Which would you prefer? Boiling or freezing, you know.
Heat stroke or hypothermia.
Again, is a very individual thing.
It is. Like, what's your greatest fear? What's your worst case scenario? I agree that, it's all about that state of consciousness that we have. And, I do want to say real quickly, because I know time's going fast, children do grow up in the spirit world. They don't stay babies, and they're not over there crying, going, "Oh, I want my mommy," or anything like that. They grow up in spirit. The thing to keep in mind is that we are all, each one of us, souls, first and foremost.
Right.
And while when I am connecting with a person in spirit, I ask them to present the way they were when they were here, they can absolutely change their physical appearance.
Yes.
As they progress. But I like to see them the way they were before they passed. Because that's most likely the way you're going to recognize.
Exactly. One time I did a reading for a gal, and her mother came through with very specific information, so she knew it was her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "She's very slim and beautiful." And she said, "Oh, then that can't be my mom. She was fat." And I said, "Why would you show yourself fat if you didn't want to be?"
So these choices.
They're choices that those in spirit make.
Yeah. That is true. I mean, I think some people, if they're not comfortable with the way they were, they are.
They can
a self-esteem
it.
Issue, right?
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder if everybody has this perfect body on the other side. But like I said, they manifest the way they were when they passed. Oh, what was the name of the movie with Robin Williams called? What Dreams May Come, W-H-A-T, Dreams May Come. By Robin Williams and Cuba Gooding Jr. as actors in there.
That was good.
It's a good movie, and even handles some of the dark stuff very well.
Mm-hmm.
That idea of the state of consciousness that his wife gets into here on the earth plane and carries over into spirit.
And people
and
do.
And to deal with that.
People
there's also a really cool, it's coming to mind, there was a spiritist movie with Spanish subtitles, because I think it must have been filmed in South America.
I don't know. I didn't see that one.
And I wish I could remember the name of it now. It's not coming to me. But that was a really interesting one about when people pass and the spiritists' view of that.
And every religion, every group of people have their own beliefs.
They do, and they need to have the opportunity to express those things and then also expand beyond them.
Right.
Because ultimately you need to find your own understanding of truth with a capital T, and that will only come from your own personal exploration. So, you know, you can listen to what we said to you today, but I honestly feel it's important for you to read and experience and grow in your own understandings about all of these things.
Yes. Life is a learning experience, and I believe that's one of the reasons we choose to have a physical body.
Yes.
So we can learn different things. And just like a child learns how to walk, learns how to talk, learns how to feed themselves, learns how to do different things, we, in spirit, have to grow too.
Yes.
You know, we have to grow and learn different things. We're exposed to different things, and we have to be open to that.
Mm-hmm.
Open to new ideas, open to change.
Absolutely. And to the possibility that all people can change. It may just take them a while. So I will tell you this. We're about to end the show soon. Is there anything else you wanted to share before we close for today?
I think we've covered just about everything.
We have. We've covered a lot of ground. I hope it's food for thought for all of you, and that you have a better sense of spiritualist view and our personal view of what happens after we pass, based on oodles of readings that we've done with clients and our own personal experiences and in our discussions with other spiritualists. So I think that you need to know that the soul continues on. I think that's one of the greatest gifts that as mediums we do give a person here.
There is no death.
There is no death, not really. And that we can communicate with your loved ones in spirit, their souls, and it shows you that you also have a soul and that you can live.
You don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well said. So for next week's Wednesdays with Willa show, I will have as my guest Emmy Chetkin, and our topic is the wisdom of surrender. So this is going to be a fascinating discussion. And I want to say, though, the week after that is Connecting with Animal Guides with Joanne and Copley Nigro. And so I've got a great lineup that I'll keep you posted on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. So please tune in there, like, share, follow, let other people know what you're thinking in positive ways. And enjoy this beautiful winter. Thank you so much for being on.
Oh, thank you for asking me. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. God bless everyone. Have a beautiful, wonderful week. I forgot to ask you if you've